Been a wonderful morning in God's house, hasn't it?
Amen.
I want to express my sincere appreciation to our church office staff. Stacy does a fantastic job of taking care of the bulletin and the insert and the outlines on Sunday. I get tickled because every once in a while somebody will comment on the outline. And the comment will be something like this: "Brother Jackie, I see you've got a lot to say this morning." Well, maybe so, but I just want to tell you that they are provided to help you to have something to look back on later on if you'd like to use it as a study tool.
Amen.
But they're a blessing to me because I know when I'm preaching, you've got something to take home with you. We've been in a series of sermons for several weeks now on unwrapping your spiritual gifts. We're coming down to the end of that series the next two or three Sundays. And today I want us to do something. I thought about this last night. Last night, Libby and I were relaxing in our den watching Gunsmoke.
Amen.
Now, I know that surprises some of you, but we did. We were. And it was in how the West was won after the regular showing went off. And it's one of those continuation pieces that when it opens up, it says the story from the beginning, and then to catch you up on what's going on and now bring you up to date. So that's what I want to try to do this morning with a message from God's Word from Romans chapter 12. We won't be following that outline that you have in your bulletin exactly, but we'll get there. So you hang on to that and hold on to that. Because we've got hopefully a good word to share with you this morning. Unwrapping our spiritual gifts. One of the things that I'm so grateful for is how wonderfully the Lord's provided for us as His children. Even so much as God makes all of us unique. And you probably know this without me saying, but I want you to know you are not only unique, you are uniquely gifted. And you are uniquely gifted for your service in this place. And in place else, the Lord may open up a door for you to serve. You're not filling in somebody else's mold or manner. You are uniquely blessed of the Lord in a wonderful way. And our goal is to help us understand what spiritual gifts are and how God uses them and uses us in the kingdom's work. So follow along with me as we share some passage that we've read every Sunday for the last few weeks. Let's begin in Romans chapter 12. And I'd like to begin reading in verse 4 and read down through verse 8. "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, or service, let us wait on our ministering or our serving, and he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth or encourages on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, and he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness." I'd like to ask, if you would allow me this morning to go back and review just for a brief moment where we've been the last few weeks in unwrapping our spiritual gifts and look again on the uniqueness of these wonderful gifts and attributes God has bestowed upon us as His children by grace through faith. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, Paul wrote to the church at Corinth and said, "Now concerning the spiritual gifts," that word is the Greek word pneumatikon, which literally means the spirituals. He said, "Brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant." Right into the church at Corinth, Paul reminded them they were a blessed and a spiritually blessed people that God had invested the Holy Spirit's manifestation in, and God wanted them to use their unique spiritual gifts to bring Him honor and glory and be a blessing to the church. We've looked at several of these gifts already. Having then gifts differing according to grace, that is prophecy and ministry and teaching and exhortation, then we are to, and giving and ruling. Our message this morning was going to focus on leadership and administration, but we'll get to there in just a moment. We begin our journey together by looking at the spiritual gift of prophecy. Not foretelling the future as in the prophets of old, but forthtelling the present and forthtelling wonderful truths from God's Word that God would have us know when God has revealed in His Word. The gift of prophecy. There are people in every church that God has blessed with spiritual gifts. And maybe you've got that gift of prophecy. And if you remember, we described it just a little bit. For example, like one who loves to proclaim truth and reveals wrong actions and motives by persuasively convincing others. One who brings to light things concealed while despising the evil and grasping the good. I can go back in my mind to churches that I've served, and the Lord's given me the wonderful privilege of serving some wonderful churches. And I can think about people that at that moment in time I may not have thought about the fact that they were demonstrating they probably had the gift of prophecy. These people were forthcoming in declaring truth that needed to be declared, and God's people need to be reminded of God's truth. The prophet is quick to denounce sin and raise the banner, the Christian banner of the standard of God. The prophet, the fourth person of the gift, spiritual gift of prophecy, really has little time for slacking off, if you will, in the agenda that God has given us to reach people, teach people, grow people, and minister to people in Christ. The prophet believes there's business to be done, work to be done, and we need to be about that business. The prophet is usually not so given to the minor things as the big picture of what it means to follow the Lord, believe the Lord, serve the Lord, and reach people for Christ. And so prophecy is a unique, wonderful gift God gives to some. And I can think of somebody, maybe they have come to your mind, that probably has that spiritual gift. We look back in our sermon series, to the spiritual gifts of ministry or service or hospitality. One who loves to demonstrate love, by meeting practical needs with an innate ability to see and determine needs in other people's lives and meeting them. How wonderful it is to see God manifest these spiritual gifts. The spiritual gift of hospitality, the spiritual gift of ministry, the spiritual gift of service. These are the people who are usually the first ones to church to be a part of what's on the agenda that day or that time. The person with the spiritual gift of hospitality is anxious to prepare a meal for somebody who needs it, anxious to help somebody who may need help in some kind of ministry way. There's always somebody, thank God, in the church who has that inclination toward ministering to the needs of others in a way that doesn't draw attention to them. That's not what they want. They just want the satisfaction of ministering to others in Jesus' name. The gift of prophecy and the gift of service and hospitality don't contradict. They run along the same course, but they are uniquely distinct in their display and their demonstration. Then there's the spiritual gift of teaching. Now that is that you don't have to have the spiritual gift of teaching to teach and be an effective teacher. But the gift of teaching is God-given because God has given some of you the unique ability to communicate truth in a way that touches lives and changes lives and brings the gospel and the truth of the Word of God home to where we live. So we're familiar with the gift of prophecy. We talked about the gift of ministry and service and hospitality. And now the wonderful gift of teaching. Even though you don't have to have the biblical gift of teaching, if you do, your teaching is an opportunity to demonstrate God's grace in your life. You get great fulfillment out of opening the Word of God and teaching relevant, practical, life-altering truths for God's glory. The gift of prophecy, the gift of ministry, service, and hospitality. The gift of teaching. Fourthly, we looked at the gift of exhortation or encouragement. One who loves to exhort others and stimulate their faith into that action. One who encourages others in their spiritual growth and Christian journey. Think with me just for a moment, would you please, about that person at our church or some other church where you may have served or were for a while. And God used that person to encourage you and bless you and motivate you to keep on keeping on for the glory of God. Somebody who had that were unselfish and selfless in the demonstration of their caring for other people. And so the gift of exhortation and encouragement is from somebody like a Barnabas who God has given a wonderful gift of encouraging others to keep on keeping on. Maybe that's your gift. And by the way, the Bible doesn't give a hierarchy of gifts. There's no main gifts, important gifts, or no lesser gifts. They all are on an equal plane. And every gift is uniquely important in the family of God. The gift of exhortation or encouragement. Last week we talked about the gift of giving. I get a little tickled when I think about the gift of giving because not many people think about that as being a spiritual gift. I called our oldest son last week after I preached the sermon. I said, "Son, I preached a sermon and I talked about you in church." Because that's not different. I talk about him a lot. He gives me a lot of my sermon material. And I said, "Son, for a long time I've known that you were gifted a lot of errors, but I began to see as I began to unfold and study for this sermon series that you must have the gift of giving as one of your spiritual gifts because it so manifests itself in his life." And I told the story last Sunday about him and a group of men who meet for prayer every week at a Waffle House. And they're waited on by a sweet little waitress who's the mother of four children who are sitting at home and there's no husband at home, no man at home. And she's the only income resource for the family. And every week the men give her a very generous tip and bless her and share the gospel with her. And at Christmas they gave her a very significant gift of love and affection. I said, "Jamie, I thought about that is motivated, I believe, could be, by you having the spiritual gift of giving. And you get great gratification of blessing others through how God has blessed you. One who loves to exhort others, or let's go back to giving. One who loves to impart and entrust personal assets to others for furtherance of their ministry with a pure and giving motive and no strings attached. The gift of giving describes the person who can organize personal business in order to gain these assets and wisely knows where and how to give by using godly business sense, even in charity to strangers." And that leads us to today. We're talking about the spiritual gift of ruling and administration. And then the next two Sundays we'll deal with mercy. Then we'll close our series by dealing with a summary of the spiritual gifts as a whole. But today, the spiritual gifts of ruling and mercy, ruling and administration. Let's talk about that for just a moment. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28, Paul again wrote to the church, says, "And God hath set some in the church," and he uses the word governments, which is the word we use for administration. Paul said to the church at Corinth, "In your church are people God has uniquely gifted to govern and give leadership in the area that we would call administration." Let me just kind of give you an example, a definition, a description. The gift of leadership / administration may be defined as a believer's God-given desire and ability to cast vision, to set goals, develop strategies, and communicate these to others in such a way that they harmoniously work together to achieve those good goals for God's glory. Can you think of somebody who is a visionary, somebody who brings to the table an insight that believes God's big enough for anything that God leads us to do? Have you been impacted by somebody whose leadership stirred you to be more faithful and stirred you to trust the Lord? I think back upon my ministry and that God has brought into my life, preachers and laymen who were visionary, who were administrators. By the way, a good leader is not necessarily a good administrator. Those are different. The vision is the big picture. The administration is the how to get it done, step one, step two, step three, and how they all work together. The administrator does not look forward to balancing his checkbook. He just is frustrated, him or her. And if you feel that sense of frustration, you can say amen. Nevertheless, that's not for a visionary, but it is for somebody who is organized and wants to keep things, wants to be sure they got the correct amount in there. The gift of leadership is a wonderful word. People can be leaders without being good administrators. And the illustration that I put down here was a professional football team. A quarterback can lead a field on the team, as we're so conscious of in our country today, but he can't run the front office. They're two different roles. One is administration, one is leadership. And the word leadership, it comes from the word proestime, which is pro coming from before or in front of, and histrime, to set or make it to stand. Literally, he that is placed in front of or to rule. Somebody with a spiritual gift of leadership has been uniquely ordained of God, blessed of God, and equipped by God to be a visionary and to stir people to do the work of the Lord and do it well. The gift of leadership. I'm so grateful for every church I've had the opportunity to pastor through the years, because I've learned something everywhere I've been that I needed to learn. I've grown in areas that I needed to grow in. I've been blessed by areas in areas that I did not anticipate. And the Lord has uniquely gifted somebody in every church to encourage their pastor, to carry the load, to be a whatever it takes, count on me and we'll get her done. Thank God for the gift of leadership. Thank God for the gift of administration. I remember in the church I served in Decatur, Alabama, we had a wonderful ministry called GROW, G-R-O-W, the acronym, about growing. And it began by organizing our people in visitation groups and then sending them out each week. Some would write letters, some would make telephone calls, some would send notes. And the truth is, we had about 70 people enrolled in the outreach program every week. Now, the vision came from one place, but the strategy and plugging people in and getting people to be a part, writing notes, making phone calls, making visits, checking on people and seeing how we need to follow up on guests, those things all come from somebody with the gift of administration who can hand over responsibilities to somebody with the gift of leadership. Not limited to an office such as the pastor or a staff member. You don't have to be a pastor or staff minister to have the gift of leadership or the gift of administration. The emphasis is on taking the lead in a particular matter or situation. Can you think about somebody who's a take the lead type of person, take the bull by the horn and run? You give them a task and you know it's going to be done because they're self-motivated and self-stirred and get their gratification from serving the Lord. The leader is usually the person who sees the big picture. He's a dreamer. He's a visionary. He's somebody that believes God's big enough. God, there's nothing is impossible with God. And so we're talking about spiritual gifts and unwrapping our spiritual gifts. We'll say more about that next Sunday as well. Then there's the gift of administration. People can be, and I'll repeat what I just now said, people can be effective administrators without being strong leaders. For example, employees in a complex organizational setting such as civil service. Somebody may not have the opportunity or the willingness or the ability to set up something like that, but they have the opportunity and they get gratification running the situation, taking care of details and seeing that the details are taken care of in a complex organizational setting. Where for some people, that would be like pulling your hair out, trying to keep up with all that stuff. The truth is, somebody with the gift of organization or leadership enjoys that because it's a spiritual gift. The word used for administration is the word kubernesis, which means a helmsman, or a governor. It's a picture of somebody who stands at the helm of a ship and guides it into the port or into the dock. The gift of administration, the clear idea of organization or superintending, qualified to steer the ship, a director of the order and life of a congregation, a corporation, or an organization. God gives some people in a unique, wonderfully unique way to guide God's people, and so the word, the role of an administrator can easily be seen. I'm so grateful for the people in Calvary that God has given the gift of administration. You can give a task to somebody and they'll get her done. And I've never served another church where there was more of a commitment to excellence than there is here. And you're to be commended, and you bless and encourage your pastor. I am not a person who has a spiritual gift of administration, but I do appreciate and recognize and thank God for those who are. The administrator is the person who sees the details of the task and oversees the management of the details. Gift of administration, the gift of leadership. Everything, now listen carefully, everything in a church, everything in a business, everything in a company rises or falls with leadership. Everything does. And one of the things that God is teaching me is that God gifts some people to see the big picture, and God gives gifts to other people to see the big picture and how to get there. And such is the case of somebody with the spiritual gift of being an administrator or being a leader. I have, and you'll see in your outline, under your outline, the gifts described, I described 14 points that relate to somebody who's a visionary, is uniquely gifted as a leader and an administrator. Now, I wish you could see everybody's face from where I am. When the pastor, three-fourths of his way through his sermon, says, I now have 14 points to share with you. But that'll bless you, won't it? I didn't hear a preacher, brother, anywhere in the house. But I tell you what, if you'll come back tonight, we'll do all 14 points. Now, what does this mean? It means all of us are uniquely gifted. You are significant. You are important. You are magnificently imperative to the well-being and the health of this church. You are appreciated and you are loved. You are a part of God's wonderful plan, and God has wonderfully blessed you. Don't think that the only thing God wants to do is have warm a pew. Now, He wants you to do that. There's a place of service. There's a place of ministry, and if your ministry is administration or leadership, yours is just as important as the person who has a spiritual gift of prophecy or teaching or whatever it may be. And what I want to close and bring to a conclusion and a summary is, don't come just to be blessed. There's nothing wrong with coming to be blessed. Ask the Lord, Lord, make me a blessing. Use me for your honor and for your glory. Use the spiritual gifts that I have to bring honor and glory and majesty to the name above all names. And Lord, help me not to be just an armchair believer. Help me to be a soul winner. Help me to be a communicator, a navigator, a carrier of the gospel. Help me, Lord, to be somebody who helps my pastor, helps our deacons, helps our teachers, helps our leaders to become everything God wants us to be. Don't just come just to be blessed. Nothing wrong with it being blessed, but to be a blessing. And as you exercise your spiritual gifts, by the way, you may not know what your spiritual gift is. We still have some of these in the back in the foyer from Love Worth Finding, and Dr. Rogers put these together years ago. And these are surveys, and these are, some of you have taken these home, and you filled out the questionnaire, and you've come back and shared with me about your spiritual gift. One particular person talked about how the gift of administration was just confirmed in their hearts when they took this home and read and filled out the questionnaire. So as you leave this morning, you're welcome to get, there's several still on the table in the back as you exit. You can get one of those as our gift to you. Now let me share with you the most important thing. We've talked about spiritual gifts, we've talked about teaching, and we've talked about administration, we've talked about leadership, we've talked about the other spiritual gifts, but the main thing is, first of all, do you know that you know Jesus? Nothing is more important than that, because the bottom line is, when you take your last breath, all that really matters is what did you do with Jesus. Secondly, not only do you know Jesus, are you exercising your spiritual gifts? Are you serious about finding out what it is? And by the way, you'll be blessed more than anybody if you discover your spiritual gift and exercise that for God's glory. You'll be blessed beyond measure. And thirdly, one of the things God wants to use you in doing is exercising your spiritual gift. And as you do so, our church will be stronger, our church will be sweeter, and God will get the honor and glory. And one of these days, I pray that we'll hear the words of our Lord, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Tonight, 14 qualities of a leader. I look forward to seeing you tonight. Let's bow together, shall we?